and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, June 5th, Happy Resurrection Day, and Happy Pentecost Sunday, a day when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the disciples in Jerusalem. We believe that we no longer have to go to a temple, but the Holy Spirit resides within our bodies. We are the temple of the living God. And so as we begin, Lord, we ask for your presence to be with us, to remind us of the sayings of Jesus, and to help us to know the mind of Christ. Let's begin with Numbers chapter 6. In this section in Numbers, we talk about the Nazarite vow, which is the vow that Samson took and John the Baptist was given at birth. And also, it seems that Paul, in one of his adventures, his missionary journeys, took this Nazarite vow as well. Before I read, I just want to tell you there are three particulars in the vow of the Nazarite. One, no consumption of wine or anything related to the vine. Two, no cutting of the hair. Remember, that was the downfall of Samson. Well, really, the downfall of Samson was a love of Delilah, someone who was not a person of the Lord. And then number three, no contact whatever with a dead body. The end of Numbers chapter 6 has this wonderful blessing for the priest on the people. You have heard this blessing many times, probably. It's called the Aaronic blessing. And so we'll get there at verses 24 through 26. Starting with verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord as a Nazarite, they must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or other fermented drink. They must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins. As long as they remain under the Nazarite vow, they must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or skins. During the entire period of their Nazarite vow, no razor may be used on their head. They must be holy until the period of their dedication to the Lord is over. They must let their hair grow long. Throughout the period of their dedication to the Lord, the Nazarite must not go near a dead body. Even if their own father or mother or brother or sister dies, they must not make themselves ceremonially unclean on account of them, because the symbol of their dedication to God is on their head. Throughout the period of their dedication, they are consecrated to the Lord. If someone dies suddenly in a Nazarite's presence, thus defiling the hair that symbolizes their dedication, they must shave their head on the seventh day, the day of their cleansing. Then on the eighth day, they must bring two doves or two young pigeons to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting. The priest is to offer one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering to make atonement for the Nazarite because they sinned by being in the presence of a dead body. That same day, they are to consecrate their heads again. They must rededicate themselves to the Lord for the same period of dedication and must bring a year-old male lamb as a guilt offering. The previous days do not count because they became defiled during their period of dedication. Now this is the law of the Nazarite when the period of their dedication is over. They are to be brought to the entrance to the tent of meeting. There they are to present their offerings to the Lord, a year-old male lamb without defect for a burnt offering, a year-old ewe lamb without defect for a sin offering, a ram without defect for a fellowship offering, together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, and a basket of bread made with the finest flour and without yeast, thick loaves and olive oil mixed in, and thin loaves brushed with olive oil. The priest is to present all these before the Lord and make the sin offering and the burnt offering. He is to present the basket of unleavened bread and is to sacrifice the ram as a fellowship offering to the Lord together with its grain offering and drink offering. Then at the entrance to the tent of meeting, the Nazarite must shave off the hair that symbolizes their dedication. They are to take the hair and put it in the fire that is under the sacrifice of the fellowship offering. After the Nazarite has shaved off the hair that symbolizes their dedication, the priest is to place in their hands a boiled shoulder of the ram and one thick loaf and one thin loaf from the basket, both made without yeast. The priest shall then wave these before the Lord as a wave offering. They are holy and belong to the priest, together with the breast that was waved and the thigh that was presented. After that, the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who vows offerings to the Lord in accordance with their dedication, in addition to whatever else they can afford. They must fulfill the vows they have made according to the law of the Nazarites. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Let's move over to the Psalms. Today we're reading Psalm 10. I was commenting to Amy earlier that I love the rhythm of continuing in the Psalms. I'm curious if you like going over the Psalms again and again, or if you get tired of them. I really enjoy remembering that God reigns. I think it's something that I need to bring to mind again and again, and that is the overarching theme of the Psalms. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak, who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, "Nothing will ever shake me." He swears, "No one will ever do me harm." His mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for his victims. Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, "God will never notice." He covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, "He won't call me to account"? But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked man. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not otherwise be found out. The Lord is King forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror. Verse 16 again, the Lord is King forever and ever. We praise you, Lord Christ, for being King. And we pray, Lord, that you would arise and help those who are helpless. As we move to the New Testament, we're in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10 today. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. On this Pentecost Sunday, may we praise God for the Spirit that He has deposited within each of us and for the promises of Scripture that this is not our final destination, that one day we will be with the Lord and we will have a heavenly body. Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for the many ways that you show yourself to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your care over us. Thank you for this little resurrection reminder each Sunday that Christ raised from the dead and that we too will be raised. Thank you for the promise of a new body. While we are in this tent, help us to use what you have given us for your glory. Bless my brothers and sisters today. Help them to be a blessing to those around them. I pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.